This is Capital Chat. This is Jeff Shapiro, politics columnist for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Here today, politics reporter Patrick Wilson, and we're telling a tale of two outsiders. Amanda Chase, a Republican running for re-election to the state Senate in Chesterfield County. Democrat Joe Morrissey of Richmond, a Senate nominee, fully embraced by the Democratic leadership. Let's just sort of summarize the calamities that Morrissey and Chase are bringing to this campaign cycle. Certainly most recently for Amanda Chase, a Republican nominee kicked off of the Republican committee in her home county.
Senator Chase has had some ongoing feuds with officials in her party, in the Republican Party in Chesterfield. And they've bubbled up following an incident that she had with a Capitol Police officer demanding a parking spot she wasn't authorized to park in. And the officer, apparently, according to the report, feels like she's doing her job. And the senator gets into this altercation with an African-American female officer.
And the Republican sheriff in Chesterfield County is steamed about that.
I think exacerbated an existing feud that goes back to Amanda Chase winning the seat. And Chesterfield, like any place, has a sheriff's office that they have political power anywhere in Virginia. And she's not on board with the sheriff's office.
She is supporting an independent candidate. And that was pretty much the tipping point then, was it not, for the Republican committee in Chesterfield?
They booted her out of the party, you know, on the rule that you can't work against a Republican candidate, a Republican nominee. And she sort of, you know, rather than cower or apologize or back down, she went the other way and turned it into a full-blown, you know, situation to try to get to her advantage, where she's saying that these are good old boy cronies. I'm standing up to them. I'm cleaning out a mess, and they don't like it. This is the kind of, I think, language that voters love. They want messy situations cleaned up. They want reformers. So she's saying things that I think are really just music to the ear of a lot of voters.
And that district is strongly Republican and went strongly for Donald Trump. The CW, the conventional wisdom is that she can be Trump-like and it should work to her advantage.
Yes.
In the case of Joe Morrissey, it's a somewhat different kettle of fish. Joe Morrissey defeated a Democratic incumbent for the nomination, Rosalind Dance, who was supported by the party establishment. And now the party establishment is embracing Joe Morrissey pretty much because it has to. Every seat counts in this closely divided Senate, and the Democrats certainly don't want to put at risk a majority or at least working control of the Senate.
What we reported in our coverage was that in the event that there's a closely divided Senate, maybe 20-20 tie, which could happen, that could be one of the scenarios, Morrissey as a Democrat could basically stop anything he wanted from getting out of the chamber. In his fundraiser yesterday evening, talked quite a bit about the importance of reaching out to Republicans, talked about bipartisanship. But Joe Morrissey has very strong beliefs. He's very populist and can be persuasive with people. I think there's got to be some concern by Democrats that if he decided they were doing something he didn't like and he decides he's going to go against it, then if they have a 2020 Senate, they're stuck. And so they have to be his friend. They need to make nice with him, and they're trying to do that. And they being some of the top leadership. Now, among the rank and file, if you get on Twitter, you will see, you know, more than a couple people that aren't happy that Governor McAuliffe and Senator Saslaw are hobnobbing with Joe Morrissey at his house.
Is there any likelihood that these candidates, Morrissey and Chase, are going to be defeated in November? You have a Chase district that is strongly Republican, and you have a Morrissey district in which there's only nominal independent opposition.
As far as Joe Morrissey, he has an independent challenger. There's zero chance that Morrissey will not win that election. He just defeated an incumbent Democratic senator. He's very popular with people. He lights a fire with the voters. Senator Chase against, you know, her Democratic challenger, Amanda Pohl. Pundits and journalists could sit around all day and say what they think will happen or how the districts go. on paper, that is a conservative district. However, one thing I've noted to people this year is that these Senate districts have never had a vote with Donald Trump in the White House. Some of these districts, Trump is extremely unpopular, and it's going to be a huge drag on the Republican candidate. In the Chase Poll district, I don't really want to make a determination there, but like I said, on paper, it is a conservative district. But you know, the unpopularity of Donald Trump can't really be underestimated as far as driving Democratic vote.
But one of the things I've wondered about in that district, that Chesterfield-anchored district, is, remember, Amanda Chase defeated in a Republican primary a longtime incumbent, Steve Martin. And one of the reasons she defeated him is because he was viewed as distant, arrogant, aloof, unapproachable.
And there was another candidate in that primary who was aligned with the sheriff's office power structure, who also lost in that Republican primary. And that kind of goes back to Senator Chase being at odds with the sheriff's office.
But I'm wondering if people look at Amanda Chase and wonder, is she any better than Steve Martin? And could we see in a Chesterfield that is changing, even in the section of Chesterfield that is strongly Republican, could we see a Republican incumbent essentially embarrass herself out of office?
It's hard for me to make a prediction to that effect, but I hate to say it depends on your point of view or on the other hand, but what is embarrassing to some people is, you know, independent, authentic politics to someone else within the same Senate district.
These races in microcosm, regional races, say a lot about what's going on within the political parties, the tension that is shaping them, the friction that could help them pick up seats or potentially lose them. Can we talk a bit about those contrasts, starting with the Republicans?
Republicans in Virginia don't really have a lot in their favor right now with this election. They're playing defense pretty much everywhere. In the House, they're looking at limited money compared to the Democrats to try to hold 51 seats. Something I've noticed that's gone terribly wrong in a year that already was going to be rough for the Republicans is that in Prince William County, their candidate for chairman of the board, John Gray, trying to replace Corey Stewart, was exposed to have had a history on Twitter, that some of which makes Corey Stewart look like a moderate. Extremely inappropriate statements for a candidate for office. On Wednesday, Republican Rich Anderson,
a former delegate running for his old seat,
to get his old seat back, mm-hmm, against Democratic delegate Hala Ayala, you know, was put out a statement in which he said that the statements by Gray are offensive. They are hurtful to individuals. They are harmful to our community. They are a bad and bitter example for the children and grandchildren who look to us to live our lives in ways that lift up our fellow human beings.
Sounds like a Republican in trouble.
This is a disaster.
A
yeah, to have district. This candidate as your board chair running, this is dragging down the Republicans in Prince William.
Now, what about on the Democratic side? What does the Morrissey candidacy say about the larger situation in the Democratic Party?
Morrissey is an outlier for the Democrats. The rest of their team in the House and Senate are on board promoting Medicaid expansion, talking about health care, riding the anti-Trump wave, and with help from a lot of donors, a lot of groups that are doing door knocking.
Of course, what the election may augur is that if the Democrats restore their majorities in the House and Senate, it'll be the first time in nearly 30 years that the Democrats would have total control of government. And on the way out, Patrick, what does that mean in terms of this pent-up demand for programs and policies?
Governor Terry McAuliffe at Morrissey's fundraiser, you know, last night said, we're going to change Virginia. So if the Democrats are able to implement an agenda and the governor can sign it, that'll be more of a newsworthy General Assembly session next year than the last few have been.
So we're looking at restrictions on guns, stronger health programs, doing more to dial back some of the criminal laws that seem, you know, freighted against minorities. Special thanks to Patrick Wilson for joining us today on Capital Chat. This is Jeff Shapiro. Join us again next week.